Hello and welcome to the Dad Up Radio Show. This is a father-friendly, father-focused space to empower fathers and father figures to strengthen the connection between their children and themselves. I am your host, Seamus Gordon. Let's dad up. All right. Well, happy Monday, everybody. Happy Monday. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I am so very grateful that in the house this morning, we have two wonderful co-host. Mike, you're not normally here on a Monday, but man, I am so grateful for your presence and your contributions. Welcome to the Monday show.
It's good to be home, gentlemen. It's good to be home.
Welcome. And of course, Charles, his seat is, we're going to have to put his name on it.
Yeah, why not? Best day ever.
Best day ever. Listen, this week begins a new focus, if you wish to put it that way. We want to use this week to help our listening understand a little bit more what we are about. I want to go over what our mission is and to explain to our listening audience how they can become part of what we are attempting to do. This program is a means to an end. This half an hour slot that we have every day, Monday to Friday, is a means to an end. And we're going to talk about what that end is and how you can become part of it. So the Father-Child Connection is a nonprofit organization that seeks to empower fathers and father figures to establish, reestablish, or strengthen the connection between themselves and their children. But there's another part to it. We want to prepare today's sons to be tomorrow's responsible fathers and father figures. So let's talk about it line by line, gentlemen. To establish the connection between children and fathers. When do you imagine this is best? This establishing of the connection between dad and the child. When do you think is the best time for that to take place?
I mean, before you eat, you got to set the table, right? So I would assume before, you know, before the child comes.
Before the child is even born. Well said, my brother. And yes, let me tell your listening audience, this is not, they're not reading a script. We're talking here. Yeah. We are talking. It doesn't happen like that very often. A guy might get a call from his girlfriend or wife and said, guess what, babe? It's a guess what? We're going to have a baby. Mm-hmm. Well, the excitement might not always be two-sided.
Sometimes there's panic.
But what we seek to do is to empower our fathers, especially young fathers, and by young I mean new fathers, to be part of that process. I don't want to say, no, that would be negative if I said the damage is done already. I would say the journey has already started.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Own it and roll with it, even if you weren't ready. So when you get that call, or if the mother or mother-to-be standing before you is okay, how do I become part of what I am a part of? Mm-hmm. And I've had guys who would say to the girls, I need to think about this. Well, she can't be thinking because something is already happening inside of her.
Yeah.
And we want to empower our fathers to be part of that process from day one. As a father of a daughter, man, I want to make sure that every young man out there listening know that they can press pause and go take a little time to think about it. A young lady, things have already started to happen in their body. So you're right. At the very moment of, well, I was going to say conception, but at the moment of announcement, start with that to establish that connection between them and their children.
Yeah.
And that will also give her confidence by you letting her know that, okay, I'm with you. I want to be with you. I want to be a part of this. And that will ease her mind a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah. And very often the question gets asked, well, what are you going to do about it? What do you mean, what are you going to do about it? This is no longer a you thing. Yeah. It is an us thing.
We've heard that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a team effort on that one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It takes two to
tango.
Let's say tango. Yes, yeah, it takes two to tango. So we want to empower fathers and father figures to be part of that from day one, because in reality, you have been part of it from day one. Many of the hospitals have programs, and many mother prenatal services out there for moms encourage fathers to come to some of the sessions. What I find a little bit disconcerting about that, let me tell you what I mean, brothers, is that the way that they advertise the services, it makes it almost optional for men to come. So there are some wonderful services out there that are for mothers and children. Mm. And down the bottom of their flyers, dads are welcome also. Mm. It's almost like an asterisk. You can come too. And that's one of those things that we here are trying to do, listening audience, is to empower fathers and father figures
to dad up.
To dad up.
Yes.
And to be there.
Yeah.
And also to work alongside existing agencies to help them understand that they need to make the door a little bit more, opening it wider to let dads in. Mm-hmm. When you make it an option, then it's almost an excuse for dads to say, well, I don't want to be there.
Right.
And sometimes it's when they offer these services. A flyer might say 12:30, mom and breastfeeding. Well, okay, the dad is supposed to be hopefully at work at 12:30.
Right.
And I know it's going to be a big culture shift, but in order to help dad be part of that establishing of connection, some changes need to be made. Systemically, service providers, it's not always convenient. I'm not saying it needs to be made convenient for us guys, but the times that they're held, they're generally sort of mother-focused.
Mm-hmm. And and sometimes when the dads go to those situations, you know, you're going there, you're trying to dad up, and then you don't really feel comfortable. You know,
like, may I help you? Well, yeah,
because unfortunately, the situation, you know, not all the dads are there with every mother.
Yeah,
and you tend to be like, hey, there's like one or two dads in a room full of women that are pregnant, and maybe have resentment towards dads.
Some of
their
them,
situation,
yes.
And
yes,
then you're like, should I? Am I in the right place right now? Because I don't feel like I should be here, but you need to be there.
Yes.
Right.
And so the old saying about safety numbers, the more dads who show up, the better it is. Hence the encouragement here of dads to be there from day one.
True.
I think I told you before we came on air that there is a research out there, actually more than one, that says if the dad's name is on the birth certificate, that dad is more likely to stay in the child's life than if it wasn't. And you would think, hold on a minute, what does a piece of paper have to do with dad showing up? As I said to you before, if I sign a sheet of paper saying I'm buying this car or this house, the fact that my name is on it means there is some ownership, there's some responsibility there. So that very act in itself. And so, again, some moms, I understand, reasons for them not wanting him to be there or be on the birth certificate. This is my child. But it needs to be more than just what you're feeling at the moment about him.
Absolutely.
Again, your focus has to shift to what is best for the child. You have to put aside whatever issues the two of you may have.
Yeah. So let me ask you guys, do you recall, have you ever heard your parents saying dad, mom is always there. You wouldn't be born if she wasn't there. But all right, let's not go so far back. When your children were born, where were you?
I was going to say when I was born in 1961.
Say that again.
I was born in 1961. Oh, okay.
I just wanted to hear the year.
I know. Well, dads really weren't allowed in the delivery room at that time.
How things have changed.
Yes, they have.
And somewhat.
I've been privileged through a bit blended family to be a father of five children. Two of them are mine that I fathered. And I was, again, blessed and privileged
to be there
when they came into this world. I was there from the moment that she told me that she was pregnant to be there in the delivery room. Mm. So all during the time where the baby was growing, it could hear my voice. Mm. So I was blessed and privileged to have that connection established.
I heard the voice. The child didn't think it was thunder. That's a joke.
Okay.
I gave my first joke. But yeah, talking to the child again, back to the relationship between mom and dad. Because if the dad and mom are having arguments about whether the child should be here or brought into this world, I don't see the chance of him being near to her tummy to be able to be talking to the child. But again, back to the establishing of the relationship and the connection between dad and child from day one. Because again, research, I'm telling you again, this program, we try as much as we possibly can to be biblically based, but also to be research and evidence based. And the research has proved over and over that dad talking to or singing to the child in the womb helps with that connection. Mm-hmm. So again, to our moms and those moms out, the single moms out there, it is not, I know, it is not just about you, it is about the child. And dads, I want you to know that your presence matters even before the child comes into the world. You're about to say something. You were there for any of your two wonderful
children? Yeah, I was actually there for both, but my son was, there was an emergency C-section, so I wasn't allowed in the room.
Okay.
Which was torture. You know, I didn't go through the process or anything, but it was tough not being there, not knowing what's going on, especially since she was rushed out of the room.
Because you had two major concerns, the child as well as your wife.
Correct. It was dangerous. We almost lost him from the beginning, but even beforehand. So it was a high-risk pregnancy. There was a lot going on. And, you know, the doctor, we were sitting in the hospital room because she got hospitalized. And the doctor was like, well, something happened. And then it was like go time.
Mm.
And then it was like massive panic. She was rushed out. And I was like, in the dust. Yeah. I was like, man.
Let me ask you, how much were you being informed? And again, not hitting the health services. They're doing an amazing job. It's just that, how were you being informed step by step, or was there no time for that? Because there you were out there not knowing.
Well, it was hard because in the beginning, when in the beginning, early stages of the pregnancy, the first hospital that she went to out of emergency said, well, the pregnancy is not viable.
Mm.
So they were ready to terminate the pregnancy. And she's like, no, that's not going to happen. So we went to another hospital. So like we're going to this series of facilities trying to find the one that's going to say, hey, this is going to work. You know, where's the hope in this?
Hmm.
So then we knew along those stages that everything was shaky ground. So at any moment we could have lost them. And then when they said it was go time, and he was early, he was 6 weeks early.
Wow.
So he's 3 pounds, 11 ounces. So.
And by the way, he's in wrestling now,
He's a savage.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. He's a wrestler at his high school and doing well.
Yes.
The same person that they had question marks over.
Exactly. Yeah. So for him being, he was a fighter before he was born.
Mm.
You know, so that's a testament to him. But my daughter, on the other hand, I was there for the pregnancy.
Hold on a minute. You were there for the birth, you mean?
The birth, yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, the birth. Correct. Okay. I was there for both.
All right.
But yeah, I almost passed out, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. I hear that happens. Never to me, no. But I hear that does happen to some guys, which probably is a testimony to the strength of the woman. I mean, she can't afford to be fainting then. Yeah. But, yeah, being present, the connection. So back to, again, our mission, empowering fathers and father figures to establish. Because if the foundation is established from the very beginning, the chances of sticking around and being there is there exponential. But that doesn't always happen. And you, Meg, we had your dad on the phone, and we had him in person in the studio here talking about that process of reestablishing. Mm. That part is powerful, because it says there is hope, Charles, even if there wasn't that initial establishing of connection.
That's where it says it's never too late to get a connection, to form a bond. So as long as the two of them are willing and alive, it's never too late.
I don't want to go to reestablishing yet. Let's continue this discussion here on the establishing, because quite honestly, that should be the default approach from day one. There are obstacles to that, and we'll talk about those obstacles in a minute. But if this were a commercial break, we would go to some music, but we're going to go to some DGJs, man. Dad's Got Jokes. Now, because we have always been here and giving our best jokes ever, let's give the new kid.
So is that why he's here? He's got a good joke now?
I'm just asking.
Wow. Okay.
It has already started. Gee, man. All right. So, yeah, apparently, sir, you are qualified to.
I just thought I get, you know, it's like, and you know, you get a bye week because you did so well.
I just figured
I didn't have to show up because, you guys need to put in that work.
Okay. Compliment with a sword at the same time. All right, sir. You, the mic is yours, literally.
What do you call fake pasta?
Oh!
We know. I think we know that.
I think we know he didn't listen that morning. I suppose
you called that one?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I want to say you have another one, but impasta? Impasta?
Antipasta.
Oh, you switched it up a little. Okay. He got you on that one.
That's a made-up word. We're made antipasta. All right. Okay, then. Could you make up for that joke for me, please? So you go next.
What do you call a lazy baby kangaroo?
A lazy baby kangaroo.
A pouch potato.
Nice.
All right.
Okay.
A pouch potato. All right. Well, you know, Mike, I love to drive. Say something. All right.
Yeah.
I love to drive. But when I was younger, I used to race cars, man. I used to race cars.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. You know what would always happen? The cars would always win.
Okay. My.
Okay. The cars would always win.
Okay.
We heard that. We heard it already.
Oh, please. Thank you very much.
There's an echo in here.
So today's show is co-sponsored by one company, one individual, Nuzzle Nolan, our faithful friend and sponsor of this show. They provide lawn care and pest control services, and we also have an anonymous, we know who the person is, they just don't want to be named, who co-sponsored today's show. And if you are listening and would like to be part of this movement, we ask that you call us or email us to be a sponsor. And one of the ways to do that is to call 561-229-2379. That's 561-229-2379. Or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. There are three ways you can support us. One, with your prayers. We do ask for you to pray for us and this program and this agency, the Father-Child Connection. And two, by your hours, volunteering at least 1 hour per week to be a dad tour for a child that needs to be read with or to be read to. And the third way is with your dollars. Your financial contributions, they do help. Thank you so very much. So let's get back to our discussion, gentlemen. And the reason we're doing this a little bit different from the past few weeks since we started on the 1st of August, 2025, we want to make sure that our listening audience knows exactly what we are about. The Father-Child Connection is a nonprofit organization that seeks to empower fathers to establish, reestablish, or maintain the connection between themselves and their children, as well as to prepare today's sons to be tomorrow's responsible fathers or father figures. And we're focusing on the establishing the connection from the get-go, because it's not just good for the child, it's good for the dad, it's good for the mom if the dad is there from day one. But sometimes life happens, things happen, and he's not always there to establish that relationship. In your situation, Mike, and I know we have dealt with this so many, well, not so many times, but at least three times, we talked about your situation where it was a matter of reconnection, where your dad was out of your life for nearly 40 years. Remind me, did he say he saw you like a few days after you were born?
Yeah.
Yes. But there was not, that connection sort of just got severed, and it wasn't until 40 years later that things got reconnected. And quite honestly, on a scale of 1 to 10 now, 10 being the highest, how would you say that connection is between you and your dad?
Oh, that's a 10. That is a 10, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Amen.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
There are some people who, even with the dad in the house from day one, can't say it's a 10. But in a deep sense, it might almost be like you're doubling up in order to make up, so to speak, on lost time and lost opportunity. Like the other day, you said you learned how to change a tire. Oh, no.
Oil.
Oil change.
Yeah.
And he taught you how.
Mm-hmm. Holding out. I was holding out until then.
Awesome. Yeah.
There's always hope, isn't there, man?
And you know, I was blessed to be with my dad from day one. But there were times where he was absent because of working. Because for a long time, he was the sole provider. But he always talked to me. And even though when I didn't understand what he was saying at the time, as I got older and these situations came up, his words came back to me. And that was just as precious as if it had happened at that moment. Because I remember him saying these, that he took the time to download, so to speak, when you use today's term, into me, something that he saw for the future that I had no idea being so young. But once it happened, those words came back to me.
Yeah. And on a scale of 1 to 10, before he left and went home to be with his maker, how would you have described the connection between yourself and him, 10 being the highest?
Oh, it was a 10. There was some contention when I was in my 20s because I was trying to establish myself. I just had my first child, and he was, I guess, telling me things, and I wanted to do it on my own. So I wasn't being a wiser person learning from the mistakes of others.
Yeah.
But as my children got older, I would see, okay, this is what he was talking about. This is what he was helping me or trying to help me avoid. So the relationship and the connection got much better as I got older and I realized, hey, he does know what he's talking about.
Yeah, you both, I'm thinking about it now as you both gave an answer about whether mine was 10 with my dad when he passed away. And that's probably one of the only disadvantages of being the last of 12. Like, yeah, my parents had one dozen of us, and I was the last of 12. That I can't say honestly that it was a 10 when he passed away. Not because there was any riff or acrimony, but because I was the last on the sort of totem pole, and he had already established a good connection with the others. I think I had some. I would have wanted some more time to play catch up. But what I have learned from that is to make sure that I flip the script. Mm-hmm. And I think that was what happened in your case, Mike. You decided you ain't gonna let your son and your daughter wait until 40 years to connect with you. From day one, you're gonna be there. And so we are almost out of time for this part of the program, and we're gonna continue this discussion because, again, listening audience, we want you to know what our mission is. We aren't just here talking because we're talking heads. We want to be part of your journey, fathers and father figures, especially you younger fathers who are starting from scratch, or expectant dads, that there is hope. There is hope.
Yes, there is.
And sometimes it might mean going backwards in order to go forwards. Sometimes if you are backed in a corner and you don't know where you need to go, you need to back up a little bit. The same thing with a car. Reverse in order to go forward.
Yeah, some things may get worse
before they get better.
Yes, you just have to go through the process.
I want us to talk about two fathers. One of them came in here last week. I want us to talk about those two dads and how I do believe they could be good examples of what we could do to empower more fathers to connect and reconnect with their children. But we're almost out of time. Listen, again, we ask that you continue to listen to this show. We're here every morning, Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. And the program gets repeated 8:30 p.m. So if you miss it in the morning, but also if you miss it both times, or if you want to re-listen, you can go to the website of WCNO and look at their on-demand archive, and you can listen to any of the shows. You can also have them emailed to you, but give us a call at 561 or text us at 561-229-2379 or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. So, gentlemen, we have a minute left. Any final word as we revisit and clarify for our listening audience our mission to empower fathers and father figures to establish? We all agree that it's better, it's the best thing to start from day one and be involved. But if you have missed that opportunity, there is still hope to reestablish. And in your case, Mike, it doesn't have to be 40 years.
Not at all.
But it can still happen. All right. Thank you so very much. We hope you have a great day. And we want to encourage you moms out there who are doing such great jobs without a father or father figure being present to know that you are truly heroes. But we're also encouraging our fathers to dad up and be there so that you can be part of your children's lives. And so what we end up by always saying, gentlemen, we say dad up.
Dad up.
Thank you so very much. Thanks for joining us today on the Dad Up Radio Show. We would like to hear your feedback, comments, or suggestions. Also, if you would like to support us with your prayers, hours, and dollars, you can reach us at 561-229-2379. You can call or text us at 561-229-2379 or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. That's dadup